BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's the Scott Mills Daily Podcast. All the usual stuff like Real or No Real and bangers. We speak to Ellie Goulding ahead of playing her brand new single for the very first time. Also bringing in new music, Molly King from The Saturdays joined us, and I prepared a little surprise.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Morning, it's Friday. Thank you, Adele. You can tell I'm disorganised in the morning when I bring a carrier bag in.
Yeah, also when I've got to go to the door to let you in.
Yeah. Carrier bag there. Also, I can't log in. Does anyone remember my password?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. That would be mad.
Sometimes I choose celebrities as my password.
Well, don't. So why are you saying this?
And then sometimes it's one of the team.
But that narrows it down even more.
So it was you for a long time.
I know.
Then I had to change it.
That was a strange one. When I had to come help you change your password, I was like, what's your password? And you said my name. This feels a bit weird.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, tell everyone about your shopping trip last night.
I was a little bit tired, but I've bought a new house. I need some stuff in it because there's nothing really in there. So I went to a shop that rhymes with YKEA because there's a new one in Reading.
All right.
Got all the way there, realised I was really tired. Got moody.
Did you buy anything?
I went with my girlfriend, got really moody, so didn't buy anything for the house. But I did stay and have some food.
Right, so you went... Did you actually even look round?
I bought... That's a lie. I bought some bulbs, but I'm going to go back for the bigger things another time.
What, so you had some meatballs and bought some bulbs?
Meatballs and bulbs.
Is that it?
That was it.
That's so good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Shout out to the guy on BBC reception this morning that made me feel really confident as I walked in.
What do you do?
I forgot my pass today, so he had to look me up. I was like, it's Scott Mills, M-I-L-L-S. And then he was like, my picture came up and he was like, wow, picture very long time ago.
Oh, no, for a second there, I thought he was like, hello.
Oh, no, yeah, it wasn't that. Like, he didn't have a clue. It's a very big building here.
Yeah.
I'm not being like, oh, he didn't know who I was. I'm just saying I had to give my name. And then he looked at the picture and he was like, really? And he had to look again.
Oh, no, he didn't recognise you from the picture.
No, that's awful, isn't it? Good morning, George. He's 21 from rugby club Rotherham Titans. Shout out to the lads. Last training day before taking on Northampton Saints tomorrow. Also, loads of people are on their way to V. So we've got Joe, Natalie, Cheryl and Lorna in one car. And in another car on the way to V Festival, Hayley, Lisa and Julie listening to Radio 1 and loving it. Of course, we told you last week, fears once again that we're running out of music and that this song by Tiny Temper that we just played... very similar to... unfortunate that.
Very similar there.
Yeah. The Scott Mills Daily.
Morning, Mary, who's getting up for a new job today in Bristol. She's in Clifton. Well, that is a lush area. That's where you want to live in Bristol, isn't it, babe?
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Real nice. Right near the bridge there. Lush.
Someone's doing well for themselves.
You're doing
they?
All right, Mary, aren't you? She's only 24. She's like, I've just seen Playground Insults. I know. More people are discovering this all the time. So we sat Will Smith and Margot Robbie in a room a couple of weeks ago and got them to throw childish insults at each other. And the video is flying away.
Yeah. Radio 1 YouTube. Look at this. 4,630,000.
Oh, my word.
That's nuts.
4 million?
Yeah.
So yeah. If you want to see Will Smith and Margot Robbie like you've never seen them before from the film Suicide Squad, get online, have a look, if you're not one of the 4 million and however many it was that haven't seen it already.
It's got to that stage as well where there's videos up on YouTube of people watching the video.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, there's a
couple... like reaction videos?
Reaction videos, there's a couple of those floating around. I see people taking photographs from it, and then you see those on Reddit,
yeah.
And Mashable, and yes. Those kind of... big social network sites. It's just that basically it just seems to be going everywhere.
That's crazy. 4 million.
Yeah.
Basically, Margot Robbie's really good at it, and Will Smith just sits there going, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's too nice to to kind of really insult her. Have a listen to this.
You were the worst looking cast member in I Am Legend.
Yeah, it was me, zombies,
you
and a dog.
You and zombies and a dog.
And a dog. And I was the worst looking.
You can tell they're mates because she has no fear in just going in.
You look like a less hot version of Obama. You're like Obama, but not as hot.
It's on, I forgot about that bit. It's on Radio 1 channel of BBC iPlayer and also on Radio 1 YouTube.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Kajal.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. We spoke to you yesterday when you were waiting for your A-level results, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
You were so nervous, weren't you?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have been, but it's okay.
What do you mean? Tell me. How did you do?
I got into university, so I'm doing an MSci in chemistry, and I got an A star in maths and a B in chemistry, so
wow.
I'm quite happy with that.
Huge results.
Massive.
Thank you.
So what grades did you need to get in?
I needed AA, but my university were nice and just let me in anyway, which I'm very, very grateful for.
Come in. Yeah, they do that, don't they, sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, they were very nice, and I'm very glad they let me do that.
And also, remember, if you're listening now and your results didn't quite go as planned or as you wanted to, you can call our exam results helpline. It's free from most phones, 0808 100 8000. There's someone there that can advise you on what to do next. Don't panic. So what uni are you going to?
I'm going to King's College, and I'm starting in September.
In London?
Yes.
And have you even begun to think about Freshers Week yet and stuff like that?
Oh, God, no. All I know is that I am a very introverted person, so Freshers Week is a little bit daunting, I'm not going to lie.
Does it fill you with fear?
It's really fun. Yes. Just the prospect of human interaction is quite scary, especially when
we're do you know what? That's the wonderful thing about Freshers is I think everyone has an image of what it's going to be like, but there is a kind of Freshers for everyone at uni. It's not just
okay.
It's not just one particular type of yeah. person. It's not just it's not a party person or a sporty person. It's
yeah.
It's a Freshers for everyone.
It doesn't have to be like going out all the time. You'll find you'll find people that are just like you.
So very antisocial.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And
they'll all be in the corner and you yeah. can go find them and meet them and you'll form a little union.
That's great. Oh, I'm excited already.
I'm only joking.
Right, here's today's Real or No Real.
Star of Game of Thrones, Maisie Williams, hasn't read the books that inspired the TV show because her mum won't let her.
What?
She is quite young, Maisie Williams, isn't she? Although people always say that, but I think they've been saying that for a while now, so now she's well old.
She's 40 now, is she? Maisie, 38.
Yeah. To be fair, she's 19.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my age.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't. I mean, I'm just that kind of person who will order a takeaway and just sit there watching anything that's on the TV that can kill time.
Okay. So what would be your trash of choice?
Oh, Miranda. I just sit there and she kind of helps me feel a lot better about my life, so it's all good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I kind of just sit there playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Cool. That's old school.
Yeah.
What, like an older console?
Oh, no. I've got Sonic Dash on my phone. It's great.
Yes. So, Maisie Williams hasn't read the books, even though she's in Game of Thrones. Can this be true, Chris?
I reckon what might have happened here is she was never allowed to read the books before she got offered the role on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Then she was on Game of Thrones, probably got the script, so didn't need to read the books. So technically has never read the books. That's my theory with this one.
I agree with you, Chris. Sounds legit.
So I'm going to go real.
Kajal, what are you saying?
Real.
That one is real.
So, absolutely true. Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark, has never read the Game of Thrones books because her mum wouldn't let her because she deemed them at the time inappropriate for Maisie's young eyes.
Absolutely
correct.
We keep saying we're going to get into Game of Thrones. In fact, you hear so many people say that. It's actually quite boring. But
I'm not saying it at all. I'm never going to do it.
I do have the same last name as, I believe, a load of the main characters.
Yes, like Arya Stark.
So recently, where I've been trying to get stuff for the house sorted, you know, bills and all that boring kind of stuff. Mm. they'll say, how do you spell your last name? You spell your last name, because normally they think it's Spark rather than Stark. And then once you've spelt your last name, they always go, oh, Game of Thrones.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I can never join in the conversation from there on in. It's that or Iron Man.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I never want Real or No Real to end, and this is one of those occasions, but I need to play a song. Carl, you'll wait there, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing anything, are you?
No, literally just eating peanuts right now.
But... Okay, all right, back with you in a sec then.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
This is BBC Radio 1. We're playing Real or No Real with Carl this morning. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Here's your next fact.
Show producers have confirmed that the new series of Strictly Come Dancing will feature a Grime Week starring the Grime Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, my God. What? No. No, that's no real.
No, they got a bit more modern recently on Strictly. So what they're going to do for 1 week is Dave Arch and his band are going to be off and the Grime Symphony Orchestra are going to be on just for 1 week.
Oh, no. No, I can't believe that.
But if this is true, this is awesome. This will be the week I'm looking forward to. And this is the week I'll be gutted that you're not doing the crab to it, Scott.
Do you think there's going to be a Grime Symphony Orchestra in Grime Week on Strictly?
I mean, a part of me kind of wants it to be on there, but another part of me will kind of dread that week.
No.
I might not watch it. It's just, it doesn't fit in. Like, Grime's kind of very, like... You've got to be down there. You've got to be down there with the cool kids. I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think it's going to be on there.
Okay, so that's a no real from you, right?
No real.
Chris?
Oh, I would love this to be real, but yeah, I think it's going to be no real.
That one is no real.
Oh.
Oh.
Nope. We're getting rid of Blackpool now. You've made it to Grime Week. Ed Ball's doing Stormzy, yeah, so I'd like to see that. Would be amazing, but it's not happening this year. Something that is real about Strictly, though, is, Chris, we're going to be announcing another celebrity that is going to do Strictly Come Dancing on Monday afternoon show. We're doing a big reveal.
It's not you again, is it?
I wish.
It's definitely not me. I'm not famous.
No, none of those.
Is anyone I know?
Yes, actually. You'll have to find out on Monday, won't you? And finally...
Olympic gold medalist Chris Mears is relaunching his music career with the help of Olly Murs.
What? No. No, it's Chris Mears. He's a diver.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Now, did you know who he was before the Olympics? Or do you think Olympics has really kind of really made him famous?
See, I knew of him in the 2012 Olympics. Mm. And that's the same with his diving partner, Jack Law. But... yeah, I think the current Olympics has just exemplified his career. So, yeah, I mean, I just know he is a very beautiful man.
But what's interesting about this is, and I remember this from 2012, is just after the Olympics and whilst it's happening, obviously the Olympians are like massively famous. So suddenly you start seeing this strange situation where these athletes, a lot of whom you haven't really heard of before, are starting to be talked about by really famous people on Twitter. Yeah. You see it everywhere.
Yeah, like people start talking about Max Whitlock. Never heard of him before. And then suddenly, boom.
Yeah, everyone wants to be associated with them, which is why I can see Olly Murs then stepping in going, do you know what? I need to collaborate with one of these guys. They're really very now.
But what would they write songs about? That's one thing. All I just imagine is a song about diving. Oh, dear.
Yeah, but that would be an amazing music video. Can you imagine that?
Imagine Olly the synchro with him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yes.
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 So is Olly Murs going to help Chris Mears to write some new songs and work with him on music?
Real. Got to be real.
Chris?
I'm going to go, no real.
That one is real.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting.
I know. Listen, you're so excited by it, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for the music video. I mean, I think they should rope in Jedward as well, just for the banter.
Well, where did they come from?
I mean, I met Jedward the other day, so I just kind of had that association.
Let's drop that one in. Why don't you? Why did you meet Jedward the other day?
Clang.
Not a clang.
It was at a YouTube convention, and I'm not going to lie, they were insanely energetic, and it's just kind of like, you're almost 25. Why? Just go.
You're old.
Yes.
You're almost 25.
No, but they are. They still have the energy that they had then. It's exhausting.
It is.
I went for a drink with them in Azerbaijan once. It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. It's random, isn't it?
I was knackered at the end of it. I got a good sleep that night. Anyway, Olly Murs said in an interview he will be writing, hopefully, new songs with Chris Mears and wants to work on a dance project with him because Chris Mears is not just a diver, he's a DJ.
Oh, my God.
It's also been rumoured that Chris Mears could work with Nicole Scherzinger off of Yogurt after he became friends with her in LA last year.
What?
This is blowing your mind.
Oh, my God.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real...
I think I've got this right. I've got 20. Cardjul, you've got 30. But you do the French maths or something, don't you? French chemistry, so you probably know better.
Yeah, of course.
Cardjul, thank you so much for being on Real or No Real, and well done again for your exam results.
Thank you. Thank you, boys.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Sinead, what have you got this morning?
Okay, first up, could this be the worst catfish ever? So, you know the MTV show where people meet others online and they're dating someone and it turns out that that person isn't who they say they are? Sometimes they just look a bit different for their pictures.
Yeah.
Other times they're a different gender. Basically, a lie.
I think this happens a lot on... one of my mates is on a lot of dating apps, and it happens a lot where it's just like...
It's clearly not the same person,
it's not a
right?
real person, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this one is probably the greatest one that's ever happened. This poor guy called Spencer from America thinks he's been dating Katy Perry for the past 6 years.
You are okay? joking me.
No, they exchanged messages every day, all day, every day. They had one phone call. That didn't trigger any concerns for him.
Well, so he believes that he did speak to Katy Perry.
He still does. When you watch the episode, even when the two presenters are sort of like looking at him going, you know this cannot be true. And he's kind of nodding, yeah, yeah. You can tell inside. He's like, no, it's definitely Katy Perry.
Someone using her pictures?
Yeah, yeah, and just saying that it's her.
Right, it's definitely not her.
It's definitely not.
For 6 years?
6 years.
Oh, mate. Go and get a girlfriend.
There's still a tiny percentage of me wondering if it is.
Oh, well, you're being the same as him.
He says, it was an immediate connection. A million I love yous back and forth. It was pretty cool. I'd like to meet face to face and see if there's a future here.
Oh, it's making me sad.
He even had an engagement ring made, which he says cost him 25% of his savings. So after some digging, the guys from the show found that Katy Perry was a woman named Harriet who lived in Gloucester in the UK. And they get them to meet. And actually, they get on kind of fine and he's okay with it. I think deep down, he still thinks he's talking to Katy Perry.
Oh,
and
wow.
This is
well, even though he's met the person that's clearly doing it.
Yeah.
So Ents news-wise, Katy Perry definitely isn't dating some random...
She's still waiting to be asked the question by Orlando Bloom, right. as mentioned yesterday. Now, if you're one of those people who's turned up to PewDiePie's house, then he would like you to stop doing that, okay? Oh.
Okay.
Where is he?
There he is.
Oh, no. Okay,
where is he?
Why is it not playing?
I don't know.
If you do come to my house, I will not greet you and I will not take a picture with you. And if you came from really far away, well, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have done that.
So basically, people turn up in droves to his house with their mums as well, he says. Entire school classes are outside his house and he really, really doesn't like it. So somehow a lot of people have managed to find his address in Brighton. Well, not that I want to like help more people turn up. And like it just goes on and on and on, this YouTube post.
It's so weird. It's just stop. Picture it like this. I don't know who you are, but I know that you found my address online and thought, hey, I'm going to invite myself over.
Yeah, he really doesn't like
it. I didn't know you lived here.
No, nor did I. I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
But I'm not going to go looking for him, obviously.
Sinead's just made it a whole lot worse.
I really have.
To Brighton.
Let's go. Chris, we could be. It's only 45 minutes on the train from here.
I know. Yeah. We could go. No, I get what he's saying. It's his own house, right?
Yeah, I get it.
But he does say it doesn't mean he doesn't love his fans. He just doesn't want them outside his house every single day.
Fair enough.
It's mad, though, isn't it? Because, yeah. You know, you see pictures of all Americans, like where they live. Like, you kind of know where all the Kardashians live.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have that problem.
It's easy to find. We were saying this the other day. My new favourite thing, I know it's quite bad, is to Google celebrities' houses because they're lush.
There is a really good website that keeps popping up on my Facebook feed that shows you the inside of famous people's houses. I've just been looking at Adele's LA mansion.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh my goodness.
Really, really
so good.
Passes the time, I find. Yeah. My favourite one at the moment, Avicii. Check that out.
Okay.
Look at the pool, lush.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, now we are getting a bit used to naked Justin Bieber pictures, but the latest one isn't real, I'm afraid, everyone. So this picture popped up on a girl called Chantel Jeffries' Instagram. She is apparently an ex of Justin's. So the picture showed Justin, minus clothes, taking a selfie. It also had Selena Gomez tagged on a crucial spot of the photo, along with the caption, "I love you, Justin." Anyway. There was a bit of an uproar, and then it didn't seem to take fans too long to work out that it was doctored, as there is the same picture on his now deleted Instagram, which lots of fans had, you know, screen grabbed, all exactly the same except he's wearing a pair of shorts. And then this girl Chantel took to her Snapchat to say she'd been hacked, she would never do that, and she's staying away from Instagram until it is all sorted.
So the pictures are fake?
The pictures are fake, yeah.
Yeah, he's wearing pants.
Yeah.
Makes a change, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sinead.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Morning, Beth.
Hello.
Now then, how are you?
I'm not so bad. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're all right, thanks. What's going on today?
Today I am driving my van. I'm a grain sampler this summer, so basically I go to like different farms, sample their crops, put them in the van, take them to the lab and... then they find out how good the crops are.
That's cool.
You're a crop sampler.
You sample the grain.
Yeah. I'm a very important cog in the machine that is harvest.
All right, big up yourself.
So you eat all of the wheat?
Sorry?
You eat all of the wheat?
Well, I don't eat it, but I've stood in it. I could have been stood in the very, you know, wheat that's in the biscuits you eat, you know, sampling it.
Is that how you sample it? You just have to stand there?
You just kind of climb up it, which, believe me, is hard work.
Wow.
Get a bit of a sweat on. You climb up the grain. You've got, like, this massive spear. You pop it in. You twist it. Pull it out. Then you've got, like, a whole load of grain in there.
Right, this is good grain.
This is great. What a great job.
It's all right.
It sounds like a right laugh. You're just, getting involved with the grain.
Beth, I hear you.
I do.
I hear you had a bit of a nightmare at your graduation.
Yeah, the ceremony didn't go without a hiccup. I can say that. My name's Siet Bestaby, which is very quite easy to say, you know.
Yeah.
I was waiting in the line. They were calling everyone's names. Like, everyone was, you know, going nuts, clapping. It was great. And they got to my name, and they said Sealby. It was completely wrong, and everyone knew it. And everyone who'd been clapping, they sort of paused because, like, that's not a name, is it?
Oh,
so I stood there. There was that split sort of second of silence, and then I just wandered over the stage, and I was like, do you know what? They're still going to give me my degree. But it was a bit embarrassing.
Did they not correct it?
They did not. You know, the person reading the names out, one job, you'd think she might have practiced a bit, you know, gone through. There's some really complicated names as well, like multiple syllables, which were fine, all perfect. And then there's mine, you know, just the three syllables of CAB were pronounced incorrectly.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Hey, listen, do you want my choice on bangers today?
I would love to hear your choice on bangers.
You could have this.
Oh, my. Yes.
Animals, Martin Garrix. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine standing in some wheat to this. Hey?
I can.
Hey?
Hey? I very much can.
Yeah, but Beth, I've got a good one to sample wheat to as well. It's this.
Okay.
Some classic farmhouse
word.
Avicii.
Oh, no.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Heck. Mm.
Do you know what? For someone who spends a lot of time in fields, you should like this one.
I do. I very much like them both, chaps. They're great.
Chaps.
I'm going to ask you this a good old think. Because I know everyone says this. But those are solid choices.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie. They both very much remind me of Freshers Week all those 3 years ago.
Yes.
A bewildered youngster wandering up to university.
Life story here.
Oh, yeah, they bring back some memories. They really do.
Come on then.
Right. This is just honestly so difficult. I think I'm going to have to go with Chris.
Oh, yes. I
give up.
4-1.
I'm so sorry, Scott.
Hey, brother.
Don't worry about it.
There's an endless road to rediscover. Hey, sister. Know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker. The sky comes falling down for you. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Ellie Goulding.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you?
I'm in my house in London.
Ah. Have you just been on a lovely trip away somewhere?
I went down to Wales, went to see my dad. He's got a caravan in Wales. It's really nice.
Oh, did you stay in the caravan?
Yeah.
Love that.
That's so cool. It's just so quite... I guess it's quite unexpected for someone as massive as you are now to be holidaying in a caravan in Wales.
Yeah, but like, I used to do it as a kid, and we used to go down, like, most summers, like, down to Wales to the beach, and it was really nice, very nostalgic, yeah.
Did you feel relaxed?
Yeah, very relaxed. I do feel quite relaxed. I've had a little bit of a break, so I'm feeling quite chilled, which is nice.
There are times when I look at your Twitter and I it really stresses me out.
Everyone says that.
It does.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hi, I'm in Miami. Hello, I'm now in Finland. Oh, like, oh, look, I'm in Japan. It's like, these are like a day apart.
I know, but I mean, it seems like people are always like, ooh, you're always on holiday. And it's like, yeah, it's not a holiday. It's actually quite a lot of work. But yeah, it is a lot. And so I've taken this summer to just relax a little bit and not get on any planes because I've literally aged about 10 years in the last year.
You actually haven't though, really.
I don't know. You haven't seen me lately, have you? I don't know. I just have to put industrial concealer on and makeup with my bags under my eyes.
What, do you look like a 40-year-old woman now, do you?
Yeah. I'm all the travelling.
It's all the planes.
When you're on holiday, do you get to proper treat yourself food-wise? Because on your Twitter as well, the other stressful thing is the amount of sort of like green juice and health is on. But when you holiday, do you kind of treat that as a treat week?
Yeah, I do. A bit too much. I can easily like eat like those big bars of chocolate like all to myself.
Yes.
Like I just don't... Those are just the bits that I don't put on Instagram.
This is so reassuring to hear right now.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone does it on their Instagram. I don't think it's really an accurate representation of anyone, is it? I don't know.
Did you chase after an ice cream van when you were in the caravan in Wales?
I didn't, but I did have... I did buy it at Pick a Mix.
Yes!
A massive bag. And Rock as well. Oh. I brought Rock home for my mates.
You really, really treated yourself. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, this is very exciting because you've got a brand new single which we can now play for the first time on Radio 1 as part of New Music Friday. Tell me all about it.
It's obviously part of a film soundtrack that I was really excited about.
Bridget Jones,
I loved the first two Bridget Jones movies and I still watch them now. They're still hilarious. And then I was given a screening of this one and I didn't know what to expect. You know when like the third film can, you know, start getting a bit like rubbish in any kind of...
I mean, look at American Pie 3. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it's actually so funny.
Is it? And, oh, excellent.
It's honestly hilarious. I'm quite I can be like, you know, quite a hard critic with like comedy.
Yeah.
But like, I was really like, I was crying with laughter. It's hilarious.
Okay, so you loved the film and then you were like, yes, I'll do a song for this.
I think like Bridget Jones was like part of my sort of childhood and I was like,
Yeah, I'd love to be a part of this. And just generally, I love doing things for films. I had so many film soundtracks when I was young. I just loved like film soundtracks, and so I like the idea of being part of it. And this one is like, I do love to sing a ballad. I do really love a ballad.
Yeah.
And this one is sort of like the summary of everything that happens in the film and everything that's happened to Bridget over, you know, in her life. You know, she's talking about having this love for someone that doesn't go away, and like two people are like, can be very different, but they come together still. And that's basically what this song is about.
So do the film people, you get commissioned to do it, do they ever come back at the start and ask you to try again? Or is it always just whatever you come back with is all good?
Actually, yeah, I did something for Hunger Games once, and they said, the director called me and said, can you rewrite the lyrics?
Oh.
I was slightly offended.
No, I can't. No, goodbye.
I think he just... Good day. No, yes. I can't. I think he just wanted it to be... he told me that the theme and what was going on in the film, I think he just wanted the song, the lyrics just to be a bit more, you know, relate to the film a bit more, which is fine. So I did. I rewrote them and it was fine.
I can't wait to hear this. Okay, for the first time on Radio 1 as part of New Music Friday, it's Ellie Goulding and Still Falling For You.
Fire and ice. This love is like fire and ice. This love is like rain and blue skies. This love is like sun on the rise. This love got me rolling the dice. Don't let me lose. Still falling for you. Still falling for you. It took us a while. With every breath, a new day. With love on the line.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Still Falling For You is brand new. Ellie Goulding on BBC Radio 1. From Bridget Jones, the new film. Zach from Plymouth says, I love this already. Just blasted it out in my lorry. Ellie could sing the actual phone book and it would still be amazing. It's a good song. This is so good. It's like Love Me Like You Do, part two. I've got a little bit of a chill, says Tasha from Cardiff. Also, we've got Sammy Jane on Twitter. This song is beautiful and so real. I've got the actual GBs. That's goosebumps there. Instant Classic, says Aaron. Yes, Ellie Goulding. Beautiful. That's from Chris. Love this already. Ellie, it's pretty epic.
Thank you for that.
It's true.
That was pretty lovely. I think it's true too. Yeah. I think it's an epic song.
The next thing, I guess, is your tour in, what, Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah. Which actually isn't too bad. It's like a couple of weeks, and Australia is lovely, and the people are really lovely, and I think it'll be a nice one. And also, like, the flight is long enough to actually, like, sleep properly and get a proper rest. So I'm actually looking forward to that. And I by the time it gets to that, we'll have missed doing the shows. But when you've done 100 shows, it really does sort of start taking its toll, and you start, like, hating every song you've ever written.
How many shows do you reckon you do in a year?
A lot. I swear I must have, like, the record for the most amount of shows, because I've just never stopped. But it's definitely around the sort of, like, if I'm touring, it'll be around, like, 200.
A year?
That's mad.
Yeah. I mean, like, my manager or someone's already listening going, that's not true. But it must be, because, I mean, like, it's August, like, now, and I've always done 100, so, like, yeah. It must be about that.
Out of any of the songs, when you're kind of at the end of your tether with touring, what's the one that you're like, I don't want to do this again?
That's a good question. It used to be that song that I wrote, Starry Eyed. I started kind of singing it, like, not seriously and a little bit kind of ironically, and it was just awful. And right. I didn't enjoy singing it anymore, because I just started, you just start overthinking everything you've ever done. So I was just like, what even is this song about? and I don't know, it's just like, I think that when you perform a song that much, it does start making you go a bit mental.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It used to be Starry Eyed. Is there one now that you're like, oh god?
Actually, not really.
No.
Because I really like Love Me Like You Do. Obviously, I've sang that quite a lot this year, and I actually really enjoy singing it, because I think people forget that I do
actually really like singing.
Yes.
So, like, I enjoy singing it. I've made the set so that it's not boring for me, or it's not, like, irritating for me. So it's, like, it's all songs that I actually really want to play.
Is there a song that you see another artist performing that you wish was your song?
Yeah, lots of people. I mean, like, basically Justin Bieber's entire album, I kind of wish was mine.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, like, Tuvalu, she's amazing. I love everything she puts out. There's loads of stuff. And then I'm like, I want to write a song like that.
Yeah.
And then it turns out nothing like that song.
Is that how it works? So you listen to a song in the charts or something like that, and you hear it, and then you try and replicate it in your way?
No, it's not that. It's more like, I think when I make music, I think I either completely shut myself off from anything that's being released, or I completely open myself up to it, because I think it's important. Like, it's important to hear what people are putting out and what the kind of, I don't know, what the vibe is with the kind of stuff that people are writing. I think that's really important for artists to do that. I don't know. Maybe people like think in a different way about it, but I kind of do one or the other. Sometimes it's interesting to not listen to anything and then write a song and see, kind of compare it to, I don't know, other stuff. Mm.
Ellie, thank you so much for talking to us, and good luck with the tour.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
That new Ellie Goulding track is getting so much love. Supply Boys at RAF Bryce Norton are loving it. Also Martin and Kerry in Derby and Fiona in Devon. It is good. It's an epic song.
I love how she talks so honestly and openly about what it's like being a pop star as well. That was really cool.
I love that she still stays in a caravan in Wales with her dad.
Yeah. Rather than like LA or somewhere really exotic, with a beach.
Mm. Oh, we need to talk about the beach. What's happened on the beach?
Oh, this is incredible.
In Rio.
Well, you know, Dan Walker, during his coverage of the Olympics, he's had to deal with so much stuff recently.
Yeah.
Because it's just going on in the background.
Yeah, but there's always stuff going on. When you see Dan Walker on the Olympics, always stuff going on in the background, because I think they do the show from Copacabana Beach, which is obviously a very popular beach in Rio.
Yeah, so previously in the background, whilst he's been trying to do trying to present the coverage, there's been this hen party going on behind.
Oh yeah, the Brazilian hen party, one of my faves.
I mean, it's quite distracting. And then I saw this video on the BBC Sport Twitter, and I love this. So basically, what's going on is you're watching Dan Walker. He's doing his live TV coverage.
Holding it together.
And then in the background, there's a couple on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's
quite late at night, I think. He wasn't expecting this.
And for those asking what's going on in the background on social media now, we're not going to zoom in, but rest assured, it's not that. It's just a hug. There's a bit of... They're reading a book. Apparently they are reading a book. They're reading a book in a strange pose, OK? It's merely a book. We'll find out what the book is maybe a little bit later on. So... we're not going to go any closer than that, though.
No, really don't zoom in, because, I mean, yeah, the pictures on BBC Sport, it's having a bit of quiet time, weren't they?
Oh, it's so good. And then he just carries on.
He's had to deal with so much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Movies with Ali Plum.
I love that.
Yes, Queen.
Yes, Queen.
Yeah, never get sick of that.
Morning, Ali Plum.
Good morning. I was just thinking about what you were saying about me being, like, there.
I would just like it. We're like, if you could just be on my sofa going... That one, or that one is a stinker, because it's so confusing.
You want me to be like Clippy, you know, that character from Microsoft Word?
Yeah. I do, actually.
Hello, I see you want to watch a movie.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. And it's so confusing. I don't know anything about films. I'm rubbish.
I'm going to make you a millionaire, right?
Yep.
So what you need to do is team up with BBC iPlayer or one of the streaming services, right? Ooh. And just be in the corner of the screen as you flick through.
Because
I spend hours just flicking through,
so
trying to say, and you go... Don't do it, or yeah. Like, do it, or three plum, like, and do a little description.
Even
audio.
If you watch the trailer, right? The trailer's always going to be good.
Yeah,
but you need a little video of Ali, you know, where it says information. You press that, and he's like, "This is awful."
He just pops up in the corner, like, "Hello, I'm Ali Plum." And then does your review? No, that was a bad impression.
Awful impression.
Weird,
it wasn't bad.
That's how offensive. Is it awkward you two being in the same room since Chris filled in for you where you were off on holidays?
I've been in the same room since, haven't we?
Yeah, it's a bit tense, but it's fine. I mean,
the
most awkward moment was when we went to the same premiere, David Brent Life on the Road.
Oh, tell me about that, please.
I was like,
who's this joker? Like, I'm the critic round here.
I know. Mm.
But no, I heard you were sitting next to some pretty illustrious celebrity folk.
I'd never been to a premiere before. I felt very honoured, obviously, what? Because Radio 1 said that I could go along to the premiere and sorted it for me.
Did they?
Which was mad.
That is mad. What's it like?
So there's obviously like the red carpet and there's loads and loads of people there, but they're all wearing masks of David Brent. So it was really, quite strange.
Not like your normal cinema there, is it?
No.
I mean, it is a normal cinema, but it's just a very big one, and there's celebs there, right?
But the red carpet's really long, and then David Brent was performing on the red carpet for anyone who was stood outside with his band Foregone Conclusion.
Yeah. He was having got the shades on. Like, it was an incredible experience seeing that.
But what they do on the red carpet... Sorry, what they do is there's people at the front of the red carpet, because I saw this, and they've got, like, a book with pictures in of famous people that they know are attending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as they see them come along, they move them out to get their photographs taken. So you feel like you've been really snubbed if you're not picked.
Oh, the worst thing going to a premiere... I'm sure this hasn't happened to you, Scott, but you go to a premiere and they go, sir, oh, no, it's no one.
Yeah. No, that's happened, yeah.
No, it's no one. Don't worry about it.
When you walk in, it's like you have gone in just after a really famous person. I remember going to... I can't remember what film it was, but I went to one and it was the premiere and Tom Daley was just there. So everyone was like flashing like... I walk just behind him. No, nothing.
Crazy.
Maybe
experience.
One person took my photo from all of the paps. Hilarious. But you had a good time, right?
Amazing time. And so I sat in the cinema. I had Keith from The Office in front of me.
No.
I mean, it doesn't get any better for me. Keith from The Office sat in front. To the left of me, Les Dennis.
Off of Coronation Street.
Literally, like, next to me on the left. And a guy called Keith Chegwin, who was two seats away on the right. If you're an Office or Extras fan, it was like, this is incredible.
Oh, yeah, he was an Extras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to get your autograph. That's incredible.
That was nuts, yeah.
Well, good night. Okay, we should probably talk about the actual David Brent film, shall we?
So, just to remind everybody, the last time we saw David Brent do his thing, Ricky Gervais as the immortal bad boss, was in 2003.
Whoa.
For the Christmas special, which is pretty jaw-dropping. But anyway, he's back all these years later because he wants to be a rock star, and the way he's going to be a rock star is by cashing in his pension and hiring four or so band members to tour Berkshire and give it his best shot. He's hoping agents will turn up. He wants to become the next big thing. Spoiler alert, he might not.
Right.
Just before you wonder whether it's just basically another mock rock doc, this is still office-y. But it's not like The Office.
Oh, so would a die-hard fan of The Office, would they be a bit let down by it?
Yes, maybe. There are no real... You need more heart from, like, an Office thing. Like, this is more of a song, sketch, like, extended thing. It isn't perfect, and it isn't very Office. In fact, I suppose the thing is about this movie is it's all Brent.
Okay, so it's just him, and no other characters from The Office show up?
None at all.
Oh!
Not a Scotch egg anyway. It's very much David Brent doing his thing with music and new
There's
characters.
There's a couple of bits in The Office, isn't it? But it's like a new Office, almost.
It's a new company called, amazingly, Lavachem, and he's now a door-to-door salesman. Bless him. And I really like this new Office, in part because it's got... You know those guys at work who like really like someone else? Like, they want to be them? There is a mini Brent. That thinks he's so funny and has got like ridiculous glasses and plays up to him, so he's all right. But it doesn't really have enough Office in it,
right? Mm. You would want more. Is it just Ricky Gervais wanting to do songs?
I've heard him explicitly say it's not just me trying to live my music dreams, because back in the 80s, 90s, he did try it on.
Yeah, he was on, wasn't he?
Yeah, he tried to like make the music career happen.
Seriously?
Yeah, he was in a band.
If you're bored today, go to YouTube and check out Ricky Gervais' music videos.
Not know that.
Yeah, no, it's actually really, really funny.
It's really funny. But no, he's trying to have his cake and eat it. He wants to make you laugh, but he also wants to be on a stage getting all the attention. That doesn't mean it isn't funny. This film did make me laugh a lot.
Yeah. Are the songs funny?
Yes, but he basically plays the whole album that he's released alongside this movie in the film. Like, it's all there.
Right.
And there comes a point where you go, yeah, we get it. He's terrible at singing and his lyrics are awful. But there are moments, like, there's one bit where he gets a tattoo, right? He doesn't know whether to get Reading, where he's from, or Slough.
This is really good.
Where he spent his whole life. So he ends up getting Berkshire. The trouble is that he doesn't make it all the way through Berkshire.
He faints.
I do want to see this, you know. I really do.
It is funny, just I think some people have said it's brilliant and some people have said it's terrible. I'm very much 3.5 plums for this one.
3.5?
Yeah, you will laugh. It is funny. Just don't expect the world because it's not another Christmas special.
It's not as good
as
I
know what you mean. The Christmas special was so, so good.
Does it feel like a movie or does it just feel like an extended TV show?
It does feel like an extended musical version of the TV show. Like, you want it to feel a bit more like Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa, which is kind of a similar movie where it takes a character that shouldn't be in a movie and kind of makes it more Bad Boys, like action thriller. This doesn't.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the, would you say is the best bit, the bit that made you laugh the most, that without giving everything away?
That tattoo moment is incredible, but there's also a sequence involving a song called Native American, which is so unbelievably cringe, I nearly like kind of collapsed in on myself. Mm. You liked it though, Scott, didn't you? You thought it was fun? I mean, Chris.
I think I really enjoyed the film, but that's because I'm a big Office fan, big Extras fan, and this just feels like an extension of that. It's not The Office in the day. It's a different David Brent.
Got you.
But if you're a fan of David Brent, you're going to want to see this.
Okay. I feel like I'm up to date now.
Yeah.
Later on, will you come around and just help me choose what film to watch?
Yeah, I'd love to. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Molly King.
Hello. How are you doing?
Here's the difference, Chris, between us and pop stars. Molly turns up looking amazing, smelling great, looking like she's ready for a night out.
And, Scott, I've been up for hours. This is not natural at all.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
We turn up in old T-shirts, hair a mess, smelling like boys.
Yeah, I mean, we can only apologise.
I'm so sorry if it smells of boys disgusting. In here, Molly.
I appreciate the smell. I think it's smelling quite good in here.
Really?
Yeah, well, genuinely.
We've been in here a while. It's like cabin fever going on. It's all fine. Hey, what's it like? It must be quite weird because, where are the other girls?
I know. It is really weird doing this without them. I think part of me likes to pretend that they are here and they've just nipped out for a quick coffee.
Right.
I think that's the way that I'm kind of getting through it because it does take a little bit of getting used to, and I'm still getting used to it, but they've all been already on the phone this morning, and bless Una, she stayed up last night till like 1 a.m. and was tweeting about my single and Instagramming it, and Frankie's been just tweeting the hell out of it. So yeah,
I feel like Frankie.
Oh, love her. So I feel like they're here with me. So yes, it's taking a bit of getting used to.
So is that the biggest difference then? So let's say you get asked a question that you don't like.
Yeah.
They're not there to step in anymore.
I know. So don't ask me any of those. It'll be a long awkward silence. Yeah, normally one of those can jump in and kind of take the awkwardness, but now I've got to take it all.
It's all going well. It's all fine. So your first single on your own debut, since releasing music with The Saturdays. It's out today. And you co-wrote this, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
And is it about previous relationships?
Yeah, it's about a relationship in the past. I mean, it's a love song and it's about a relationship where you are in love with the person and you do keep running back to them and you keep running back to each other. It's kind of like a vicious cycle. But it is, yeah, it's a love song and it's about how I'm feeling towards that person.
Okay. What, are you still feeling that way?
I mean, I wrote the song a few sort of months back, so...
And now you're over it, yeah.
That's tricky, isn't it, when you write a song in the moment?
Oh, that's what I thought at the time.
My feelings are all for you now, Scott.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Right, tell me about this. Did you write this song at this songwriting camp that you went to?
The songwriting camp in France, you mean?
Yeah. I want to know, we talk about these quite a bit. I know that a lot of pop stars, they go away for a while and they kind of like switch their phone off and they go to these places where you're just there to write a song.
Yes.
What is it like?
It's the weirdest thing because I remember the label called me up and they said, right, you're going to go on this songwriting camp. And up until then, I'd been in sessions every day, mostly in London. And I had done a few sessions in Stockholm and like a little bit of travelling. But they were like, this is going to sound weird, but it's actually on a yacht in the south of France. Right. I was like, keep talking. Yeah. This is sounding good.
Sign me up.
Exactly. I don't think they're normally this glamorous. I don't know how I got lucky enough to go on this one, but it's weird. There's probably like 20 of you and you kind of get thrown in different rooms with different people and everyone's there doing, you know...
On a yacht?
I know. It doesn't make much sense, but yeah, we were all in like different bedrooms of the yacht writing different songs. It was the noisiest yacht ever, but we didn't actually set sail, so which good. Was the one let down.
So it's just a docked yacht.
It's just a docked yacht with everyone trying to write a hit. Just, you know, standard sort of Monday morning, you know.
Right. And then you
hang on, there's other pop stars on there.
Yeah, your dad at breakfast one day, and apparently Kesha was there.
Kesha was there. So Kesha was absolutely hilarious. I actually showed up to the camp, I think I was about 2 days late, and which for me is even saying something, because I'm late for everything, but 2 days, wow. And the minute I got there, Kesha was like, do you want a tattoo? Oh, I won't do the accent because it's not good.
I mean, I do love her, but...
I love that girl. I love her.
But you know what, Molly? She could really easily lead you astray.
She was so much fun. And for a second, I was tempted. I was like, a tattoo from Kesha isn't something you get offered every day.
No, what was the tattoo going to say?
Who knows? Who knows? I kind of had that polite, oh, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Yeah, one of those. But I didn't go for it. You'll be pleased to hear.
Was it a bit like a reality show, like Big Brother, where like everyone's like celebrities on a yacht? Because I would watch that. They need to film that next time.
Well, everyone's not sort of sleeping with each other at all. But
say that, Molly.
Not that I knew of, anyway.
That's what you need the cameras in there for. Yeah. You need to catch everything.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been going on, I don't know. But, it is a little bit like that. It's quite wild, for sure.
Right. Was there anyone else there that you knew?
Just all songwriters. But at the point that I went out there, I only knew one other girl, one of my closest friends called Chelsea, who's a songwriter. I didn't know anybody else, so I was a bit like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared, all these new people. But I, you know, did the usual, put on the brave face and went for it. So it was good. It was good.
Right. So here's the thing. When are we setting you up with Calvin Harris?
Was he on the boat?
Unfortunately, he was not on the boat. No.
But I know that you. I know that you're a fan.
I am a fan
in every way. and like, he's not got anyone at the moment, is he? He's not with anyone.
Well, Scott, I mean, what are you sitting here for then? Why aren't you onto this?
Yeah, what do you mean for Scott or for you?
Well, I just needed a green light from you, Molly King, and.
I mean, I say go for it if you want to.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not really playing hard to get here, am I?
Are you serious?
Well, you know.
Okay.
You know.
I mean, there's always Ollie Murs, but you've kind of.
No, Ollie Murs is lovely as well. Lovely guy, yeah. Really nice, yeah. Definitely a charmer.
He's got a crush on you.
Oh, I love Ollie. I love Ollie, yeah.
Okay, that's definitely...
So that sounds
it's a green light for Calvin
Shut
Harris.
Shut up, Scott. Okay. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
Those are your words, not mine.
Okay.
The Scott Mills Daily.
That is Molly King, new track, Back to You on Radio 1. How do you feel now?
Woo! Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's so weird hearing it on here. It's amazing. So yeah, I was having a little boogie while it was on. How sad. I shouldn't admit that, but I was like, come on!
Yeah. Joe and James say, as soon as I heard it, I instantly knew it was a banger. What a tune.
Yes.
Jonathan, M25, love the track. Super sweet voice.
Oh, nice.
There's loads of them, Molly.
Surprised you haven't had one in from Sue King, you know. Not that she's biased,
right.
But good old mum loves
Hello,
a tweet.
Mum. Hi, Sue.
But you're so used to having songs out with the Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
Describe the feeling now that you're solo.
I know, it's so weird. I think because I've written this track, it feels really personal to me. And because it's about a situation that I've personally been through, it's crazy actually hearing it on the radio and just being like, oh my gosh, like Radio 1 are actually playing a song that I've written. It is really mad. And I'm so grateful that you guys are giving it a shot.
It's there's a lot of love for it.
Thank you.
Back to You, Molly King, is out today. I've got a question for you. Do you remember going for a Chinese with me once in LA?
How could I forget?
Remember that?
Of course.
And who paid the bill in the end? It was us, right?
It was us, babe. It was you and I and the rest.
Right. We were invited for a dinner in a shopping centre, a Chinese restaurant in a shopping centre by the Hof, who heard that you were in town. And wanted to meet you.
You make it sound like this is just a normal thing,
it's
David
not
Hasselhoff.
Normal. Not normal. But he turned up, he wanted to meet you, but he turned up an hour late, gave all of the Saturdays some signed T-shirts of his face and then left without paying the bill.
Literally.
Love him.
He even ordered like the puddings and then the minute they arrived, she was like, okay guys, I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Bye.
So, like, and then are you serious?
Me and the Saturdays are sat there going, right, did you have a Diet Coke? No, I didn't have a pudding, so I have to pay less.
I'm not paying for the Hoff's beef here, guys.
Yeah, I know. We had to pay for him.
whilst wearing his T-shirts.
Now, listen,
don't hassle the Hoff.
I know. You were like, thanks. Right, so maybe me and another one of the Saturdays have cooked up a little plan today.
Oh, no.
It's all fine.
Scott, what are you doing to me?
It's all fine, but do you recognise this person?
Hi, Mills. It's your only friend, Frankie.
It's Frankie there, Frankie Bridge.
It's my only friend, yeah.
Your only friend. Now, I've got three stories here. And I'd like you to kind of elaborate. Yesterday me and Frankie were cooking up a little bit of a plan.
Oh, no.
It's nothing embarrassing. You just need to tell me the story around the headline. Okay? Are you ready?
No.
Okay, right. Just tell me about this.
Molly, why don't you tell them about that time when you always used to set your alarm at 2 a.m?
Oh, this is a stitch up.
Oh, I hate you, Frankie.
Yeah.
Okay, so the truth about setting my alarm at 2 a.m, I actually have to drag Rochelle into this as well.
Okay.
Taking you down with me, girl. So we did this thing where I think we were newly dating some guys.
That's right.
And
this is what I've been told.
We wanted to look cool and sort of keep them on their toes, you know, playing hard to get, making it look like, oh, we're out and about, single ladies, like, come chase us, boys.
Yeah.
So one time, just one time.
Oh, I heard it was multiple times.
Oh, don't believe anything she says.
Okay.
We set our alarms at 2 o'clock in the morning, went into the bathroom, blared our TVs as loud as possible so it sounded like there was music pumping.
Oh, my God.
And we called up our sort of new boyfriends and we were like, hey, babe, oh, I can't hear you through the thumping music. We're just out at the club.
So
you
good.
Know, it's so rocking and rolling in here. I hope I didn't say that.
In reality, you were in bed by 10.
In reality, in bed at 10, tucked up, yeah, made the quick phone call and That's then so straight back into bed.
So you set your alarm so the boyfriend would think you're a bit wild.
Exactly. Desperate times, Scott.
That's
Desperate
so
times.
Good.
I can't believe you set an alarm for it. It's like,
right, pump some music out, make it sound like we're having a party.
Exactly.
It's even worse because you've gone to bed that early that you've had to set an alarm to do all this.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Oh, I hate you, Frankie. Thanks for bringing that up. Well, see, I'll never get away with that now.
I've spoken to you so many times over the years, but I thought, who can I get different stories out of? I'll go to one of the girls. Ready for another one?
No.
Okay, here we go.
Molly, why don't you tell everyone your amazing chat-up lines from LA?
My amazing chat-up lines.
I mean, if you can't remember it, I'll refresh your memory.
Oh, this is awesome.
This is so awful. This is clearly why I am not in a relationship right now. Go on, Scott, tell me.
Do you remember?
No.
So, you were in America and you were at lunch with the girls in LA. Now, you were single at the time, and Vanessa and Frankie are like, you should talk to more boys, we're in America. This, you know, you could get yourself a new boyfriend. You were like, nah, I'm not bothered. But then, just across the way in the restaurant, there were some guys who kept looking over. Do you remember this?
I do.
And Vanessa and Frankie were like, Molly, just turn around and talk to them. Like, they keep looking over. They're, you know, they're quite hot. Go and talk to them. Eventually, you turn around, and do you remember what you said?
I think I said something about tomatoes and onions.
Aren't the tomatoes in the salad amazing?
It's surprising that I didn't get taken out on a date, isn't it? I mean, with those chat-up lines, God.
The conversation quickly dried up. Right, we've got one more and then it's all over, okay?
Oh, great.
Okay, here we go. This is a good one.
Molly, tell them about what we did at that pool party in Ibiza.
But you girls have had a great time, haven't you?
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay. Right, this story of Frankie and I at a pool party sounds a lot more wild than it was.
I know.
Unfortunately. So Frankie and I went on holiday together, and she actually didn't tell me that we were going to be staying at Ushuaia, like the ravenest hotel ever.
I think it was quite new then, and she just looked online and was like, oh, it's quite a nice hotel.
Well, that's what she says. I'm sure she knew. But we were staying there, and every single night there was a full-on rave, right?
Pool party, right?
Pool party, yes. So Frankie and I, we were just like, oh, we just don't want this every single night, but we thought we're going to have to at least live up one night. So we were like, okay, right, we're going to go out there, put on our best outfits, went outside, stood by the pool, loads of people obviously around us raving and all this, went outside, took loads of photos and uploaded them like, woohoo, wild Ibiza nights.
Yeah.
And all our friends were like, you're so not living it up. This is the lamest party ever. You guys look way too sober. So we couldn't even fool our friends. So
yeah, I heard the stories. You went to dinner somewhere, you came back and there's this massive pool party on and you're like, what is this? And you weren't keen, so you get in the pool, look like you were joining in the party on Instagram, then back to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
you're such a con artist.
I love it.
Coming across with this.
Scott, you're making me look so un-rock and roll right now.
Yeah, that's a refreshing change.
Oh, God. I have had some wild nights,
I know
though.
You have.
I mean, I've stayed up till at least midnight. Yeah, God.
Well, we can talk about those next time.
Imagine the thud of dance music outside your room while her and Frankie are reading a book.
We were like, can they please turn the music down? I'm just on chapter 5.
So good. Right, it's so good to see you today.
Thank you.
That slight interrogation, but you know, the stories were good. What will you say to Frankie when you next see her?
I mean, I won't speak to her again, so...
That's awkward, because she's on the line now. Say hi.
You're joking! I hate you! Oh, my God!
You know what? You should love me, because they were the tame ones.
Right.
That's it, babe. Make me look more wild.
I called Frankie yesterday, and I was like, are there any stories that we can say on the radio? And she's like, I'll have a think. Thanks for doing that homework for me, Frankie Bridge.
That's all right. Anything for Molly.
Oh, God, I hate you, babe.
Love you.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Molly. Thank you, Frankie, as well.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Annie Mack.
Good morning, Scott Mills. How you doing?
Really good. Radio 1 Summer of Dance is continuing tonight. Am I correct?
You're correct. It's great, this Summer of Dance. It's lovely. Just getting out and about, going to all these different festivals, bringing our shows out in front of real, actual crowds and playing all the biggest tunes and bringing all the biggest DJs. It's the best.
What's your biggest track right now?
Probably A Fire and Trouble. Have you played that yet?
Yes. Yeah, we
really
played it.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah. It's one of those ones that it's not kind of getting boring. You know, it's been around from the start of the summer. Everyone's playing at all different levels of DJs and the crowd just absolutely love it. I love it.
You're going to be at V Festival in Chelmsford tonight from 7 p.m. How does that differ to something like Ibiza a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I don't know, I guess like festival culture here, it's such a huge part of music culture now, and people save up all year to get their festival tickets. It's such a big deal. And for most people, like, they will kind of choose one or maybe two festivals if you're into music.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. That'll be your kind of concentrated kind of, you know, fun. And you've got to make the most of it. So people are just so up for having a good time.
Yeah. I was in the crowd.
You know, whatever the weather.
Yeah.
I was in the crowd for your set last year at V, and it went off.
Where are you, Chris?
Yeah. I tried to text you to blab backstage, but
she was on stage at the time.
Was that at Chelmsford?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was scary. That was a big main stager. That was a scary one. But V's great. It's really great festival. And also, like, this year, the lineup is massive. You know, Bieber, Rihanna.
It's huge.
That kind of level of artists. It's a good thing for a festival, especially in the UK. So we are taking over the stage tonight, Friday night. Myself, Danny Howard, and Mr. Jam representing that R1 Dance family. And we've got like a real brilliant cross section of the biggest DJs in the UK. So we've got DJ EZ, who's just, you know, legendary DJ, plays kind of a lot of bass music, garage music, that kind of thing. Then you've got MK, who's just like lord of house music, and like the guy at the moment everyone loves. And then we have Eric Prydz, who's just kind of, he'll play last, and it'll be that real big emotional kind of hug your mates type moments. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's all on Radio 1 from 7 p.m. tonight, representing the Radio 1 dance family, Annie Mack, Danny Howard, Mr. Jam, and some of the world's best DJs. Do you get scared going on that main stage? Because it's massive.
It's massive, and I'm kicking it all off. So I'm lucky in a way, because I get to start proceedings, so I don't have to worry about when anyone else plays before me or anything like that. I can just go on and...
Yeah, you're first.
Do everything. Yeah.
Play all of them.
Sorry, Daddy.
Yeah. Right.
Just set the tone.
Annie,
it'll be great.
7 p.m. tonight on BBC Radio 1, on Radio 1 stage at V Festival in Chelmsford. We'll hear you later. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, darling.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Those are your Friday best bits. We're back to normal Monday from 1 p.m. on BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.